Please turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 4, I'd like to read the 17 verses which are before us this morning. Hear God's word. Now you, son of man, get yourself a brick. Place it before you and inscribe a city on it, Jerusalem. Then lay siege against it, build a siege wall, raise up a ramp, pitch camps, and place battering rams against it all around. Then get yourself an iron plate and set it up as an iron wall between you and the city, and set your face toward it so that it is under siege and besiege it. This is a sign to the house of Israel. As for you, lie down on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel on it. You shall bear their iniquity for the number of days that you lie on it. For I have assigned you a number of days corresponding to the years of their iniquity, 390 days. Thus you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. When you have completed these, you shall lie down a second time, but on your right side, and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. I have assigned it to you for 40 days, a day for each year. Then you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem, with your arm bared, and prophesy against it. Now behold, I will put ropes on you, so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until you have completed the days of your siege. But as for you, take wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt, put them in one vessel, and make them into bread for yourself. You shall eat it according to the number of days that you lie on your side, 390 days. Your food which you eat shall be 70 shekels a day by weight. You shall eat it from time to time. The water you drink shall be the sixth part of a hin by measure. You shall drink it from time to time. You shall eat it as a barley cake, having baked it in their sight over human dung. Then the Lord said, thus will the sons of Israel eat their bread unclean among the nations, where I will banish them. But I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I have never been defiled, for from my mouth until now, from my youth until now, I have never eaten what died of itself, or what was torn by beasts, or what has any unclean meat ever entered my mouth. Then he said to me, see, I will give you cow's dung instead of human dung over which to prepare your bread. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, behold, I am going to break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they will eat bread by weight and with anxiety, and drink water by measure and in horror, because bread and water will be scarce, and they will be appalled with one another and waste away in their iniquity. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for your word once again, and although this is a hard word coming to us from the prophet Ezekiel, we pray that you might show us the sunshine behind the cloud and the radiance of your beauty shining behind it as you dispel the darkness and bring to us your light. We pray that this would be the case in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen. A little article I found on the internet begins with this paragraph. Auschwitz is the site of the greatest mass murder of all time. The most infamous Nazi death factory, the primary killing site where the final solution of the Jewish question was carried out by the means of homicidal gas chambers, the most heinous place on earth. The title of the article is Auschwitz-Birkenau, History of a Man-Made Hell. And certainly that was the case. And certainly it is also the case, as we look at what Ezekiel has to say about Jerusalem and the devastation of that city and the circumstances during the attack of Nebuchadnezzar on that city, that that city became not a man-made hell, but actually a God-made hell. And a portrayal of that future dismal place in which those who reject Jesus Christ will descend. But glory be to God, and praise to His name, Jesus Christ is the one who takes the curse. And those of you who trust in Jesus Christ will not await and waste away in your sins with anxiety and horror, as this text relates it to us. But you will have peace and joy and friendship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's the sunshine behind the dark cloud we see in this dismal text. And that's the point I want you to get this morning, that you need truly, friends, to rejoice in the goodness of Jesus Christ, because through Him you do have friendship with God and peace and happiness in Him. Let's look at the text and see how it is that we get there. As we look at Ezekiel chapter 4, we find out that God is opposed to Jerusalem because Jerusalem's cup of sin is filled to the brim. And He is no longer present in grace in Jerusalem, but He is present in wrath in that former glorious city. And Ezekiel is called upon to portray the siege, the final siege of Jerusalem before the exiles who are already in Babylon. And you will recall that the city, as we look at these earlier pieces of the book of Ezekiel, the city of Jerusalem is still standing. It has not yet fallen. Daniel was taken into captivity during the first deportation in 605. And then in 597, a few years later, Ezekiel and others were taken into captivity. But the city is still standing. And we are 5 years into the captivity of Ezekiel. And God is calling him to portray the final siege of the city as we get into the beginning of this chapter. Now you, son of man, get yourself a brick. Place it before you and inscribe a city on it, Jerusalem. Then lay siege against it, build a siege wall, raise up a ramp, pitch camps, and place battering rams against it all around. Get yourself an iron plate and set it up as an iron wall between you and the city, and set your face toward it so that it is under siege, and besiege it. This is a sign to the house of Israel. And you have to get the picture here in your mind's eye. God calls Ezekiel to get a brick or perhaps a tablet, a large tablet. It would be a clay tablet, probably the size of a blackboard. And on that large tablet, God commanded Ezekiel to inscribe the city of Jerusalem. And as the people would watch Ezekiel do this, they would say, there's the city, God's city. Ezekiel's going to give us a good word about our city, and we're going to go back there. We hope to go back there soon. But as Ezekiel proceeds, he sets up around this diagram of the city of Jerusalem, he sets up war machinery. Now, some of you boys have probably played army, and maybe you've got, some of you older men, perhaps you've done this too, looking back a little bit. And you've gotten little soldiers and tanks and maybe helicopters and pretended like you were attacking a city. Well, Ezekiel was using rather ancient war machinery, but the picture is the same. And it's a portrayal of the attack, the final attack of Jerusalem. And as the people watched now, they were watching in astonishment. No, Ezekiel is not giving us a good word. He's giving us a bad word. The city, he's saying, is going to be attacked again. And of course, that's the word that Ezekiel had been giving and Jeremiah back in Jerusalem had been giving. And as we look at the text, it tells us that Ezekiel is to take an iron plate. And this was probably a large iron dish that was convex or concave. And he could put it over a fire, lay it over a fire and use it as a griddle on which to bake flat bread. And he was to take that plate and set it up between himself and this diagram of the city. And this was to indicate God's intent, His full intent to lay siege to the city, His intractable intent. He would not be deterred. God was the enemy of the city. And Ezekiel was playing in this portrayal the part of God. And the fact that God in the portrayal would come against the city. And as the third verse says, this is a sign to the house of Jerusalem. It would be a sign of doom that the city would fall. And this was an extraordinary thing because Jerusalem was God's city. It was the city in which the temple had been built. This was the exact location that God had designated in Deuteronomy chapter 12 earlier through Moses, where He would come and dwell and where the people would come to worship. And this would be His special dwelling place. It was intended to be a token of heaven on earth. But now the token of heaven was becoming a foretaste of hell. Let's read on in our text and see what is to take place. Verse 4. As for you, lie down on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel on it. You shall bear their iniquity for the number of days that you lie on it. For I have assigned you a number of days corresponding to the years of their iniquity, 390 days. Thus you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. The scene changes a little. Ezekiel is not now taking the part of God, but he begins to take the part of the people. And the iniquity of the people, as Ezekiel lies on his side next to this diagram of the city, the iniquities of the people symbolically are laid upon Ezekiel. And he is to bear their iniquity. 390 days he is to lie before this model of Jerusalem. 14 months. 14 months. And the time period is probably symbolic of the time period from the death of Solomon to the time when the city finally falls. 390 years. And you will remember that Solomon sinned against God in marrying many wives and bringing idolatry into Jerusalem and into Judah and into Israel. And there was sin compounded for decade after decade and century after century. And now the cup of Jerusalem's sin and Judah's sin was full. And Ezekiel is portraying that sin. The people must bear the penalty for their own sin, is the message. And then as we read on in verse 6, when you have completed these, you shall lie down a second time, but on your right side and bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. I have assigned it to you for 40 days, a day for each year. And the symbolism here is likely that of a generation. You will remember that the people in the wilderness were there for 40 years and a generation perished in the wilderness. And so it would be that a generation of the people in Judah would perish in exile in Babylon. And this would certainly be the case. This is the message. Verses 7 and 8. Then you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem, the attack of Jerusalem, and with your arm bared and prophesy against it. And you can see the picture of Ezekiel rolling up the sleeves on his robe, as it were, and girding up his loins to prophesy against the model of this city which is before him. And then something else strange takes place. Now behold, I will put ropes on you so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until you have completed the days of your siege. And so it was that Ezekiel was to lie on his side for 14 months and be bound, staked to the ground, symbolic, I think, of the fact that the people of Israel were bound in their sins and they would not be released from the penalty. But they would have to bear that penalty themselves. Are you not thankful, friends, in Jesus Christ, that the Bible says to you and to me that Jesus Christ bore our sins in His body on the cross? Are you not thankful that that's the case and you yourself do not have to bear the penalty for your sins? This is the stark reality you see in the text. And again, as you see this model and you picture in your mind's eye Ezekiel bearing the sins of the people, lying on his side day after day, the place that was supposed to be a token of heaven is becoming a foretaste of hell itself. And not only so, the text gives us an insight as to what would take place in that city. Verses 9 and following. But as for you, take wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. Put it in one vessel and make them into bread for yourself. You shall eat it according to the number of the days that you lie on your side, 390 days. Your food which you shall eat shall be 20 shekels a day by weight. You shall eat it from time to time. Now, some of you may recognize this text. Have you gone to the store? Maybe Whole Foods or East End Co-op and seen Ezekiel 4:9 bread? I see some nods, yes. Well, this is the text. Unfortunately, the label on the bread doesn't indicate that this is bread. This is bread of deprivation. That's the context here. And Ezekiel was, you see, to make this bread, and he was to eat, The translation really is about 8 ounces of bread a day from time to time during the day. That's all he got for 14 months. 8 ounces of bread a day. And he wasn't, you see, taking the good food that his wife would make. I think my wife would think that I was rather out of my mind if I refused to take any of the meals that she set on the table and only eat a bare 8 ounces of bread a day. But this is what Ezekiel was called upon to do. And then verse 11, the water you drink shall be the sixth part of a hin by measure. You shall drink it from time to time. That amounts to about a pint of water a day. This glass over here, about 8 ounces. 2 glasses of water a day. That's it. For 14 months, 8 ounces of bread a day and 2 glasses of water a day. A few months ago, I went on a diet prescribed by my doctor, which was, if I remember correctly, about 1,600 to 1,800 calories a day. And I lost, doing a little exercise, about 50 pounds in a short period of time. And I wasn't wearing these clothes at that time, I can guarantee you. Imagine 8 ounces of bread and a pint of water a day for 14 months. You'd lose a little bit of weight. And that was forecasting what would take place in the city of Jerusalem. Reading on in the text. You shall eat it as a barley cake, having baked it in their sight over human dung. In other words, Ezekiel was to take dried human excrement, put it in a pile, and use that as fuel for his fire, and put that plate over that human excrement, and bake his flatbread over that human excrement. A token of the fact that there would be pitiful little wood left in Jerusalem in which to kindle a fire to have any cooked food when this siege took place. Ezekiel says in verse 14, Lord God, behold, I have never been defiled from my youth until now. I have never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beasts, or has any unclean meat ever entered my mouth. You see, Ezekiel was trained as a priest. He never had the privilege of serving as a priest, but he was trained as a priest. And it was repugnant in his view to go in the direction of baking food over this human dung. And you would find that rather repugnant too, would you not? And so God backs off only slightly as you read the text. Verse 15, then he said to me, see, I will give you cow's dung in the place of human dung over which you will prepare your bread. In other words, here's the deal, Ezekiel. You can go out and collect dried cow patties for the fuel for your fire. Now, you have to be familiar with farming to really get the idea here, do you not? And you can think of Ezekiel going out and scavenging in the surrounding area around Jerusalem cow patties off the ground to use for fuel for his fire. Again, this is the situation in Jerusalem. Look at verse 17. Because bread and water will be scarce, and they will be appalled and waste away in their iniquity. The message was this: that in the severity of the attack which would be brought by Nebuchadnezzar, the people would waste away literally in their sins. And you can get in your mind, I think, some of those pictures from World War II and those death camps where the people were wasting away and were bags of bones, literally. Such was the circumstance. But the text is not done with us yet as we look at it. Verse 13. Then the Lord said, thus will the sons of Israel eat their bread unclean among the nations where I will banish them. In other words, the story was this. The people hoped falsely that Jerusalem would be spared and those in exile would be able to return. And those in Jerusalem would be able to remain. And there would not be a scattering of the people, a banishing of the people from the holy city. But God is saying, no, there will be a separation and a banishment from that holy place. Keep your finger there in Ezekiel and turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. Speaking of those who are separated from God, Paul says, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And that's a heavy text, is it not? And the idea is that there would be an eternal separation from the love and the mercy and the grace of God. God is present in His fullness, in His love in heaven. And God is also present, friends, in hell itself, because He is everywhere present. But in hell, He is present in wrath. And it is His wrath that is applied to those unfortunate creatures in that awful place. And it is this banishment which the siege of Jerusalem is foretelling. Back in Ezekiel, look at verses 16 and 17 once again. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, I am going to break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they will eat bread by weight with anxiety, and drink water by measure in horror. Because bread and water will be scarce, and they will be appalled with one another and waste away in their iniquity. One of our students at RPTS preaching for us in a practicum said to us that he has family members in Southern California in close proximity to the raging fires in Southern California. And he said his relatives could walk out their front door and put out their hands and catch the ashes falling out of the air from this fire. And he said, They drank their water with anxiety, thinking about the approach of those flames. And you can think in horror of the pictures of devastation after those flames have passed. Such is the message that Ezekiel is giving. And he says in verse 17 that the people in the city will look at one another and be appalled. I'm appalled at the fact that there are some individuals walking around in this world, and perhaps you've heard such statements made, some individuals walking around in this world who say, "I'd rather go to hell and be with my friends." Have you heard such statements made? They do not understand that there are no friends in hell. That individuals will look at one another in horror and be appalled at one another, and there will be infinite hatred between one another in that awful place. There will be no friends in hell. But there is a silver lining. And there is light. Friends, thank God there is light behind the dark cloud. Because I say to you who are in Jesus Christ, thank God that you do not have to suffer the penalty due to you for your sins. Jesus Christ has taken all the penalty. He has taken all the wrath for you and for me. Look at verse 7 again. Then you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and with your arm bared, and prophesy against it. Thank God that through Jesus Christ, friends, there is not a word against you. There is a word for you. And the prophet Isaiah says, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and tell her her warfare is ended. And she has paid double for all of her sins." And Jesus Christ says to you, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, in Jesus Christ, the situation, the scene is just the opposite. Praise God that this is the case. And then look at verse 16. "Moreover, he said to me, 'Son of man, behold, I am going to break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they will eat bread by weight and with anxiety, and drink water by measure in horror.'" No horror, no anxiety because of Jesus. Think about that. Think about that. Because of Jesus Christ, there is peace with God. He is no longer the enemy. There is peace in the heart, not anxiety. And there is not a sense of horror, but rather a sense of joy a sense of joy because of that which awaits us in glory, which is to come. Thank God, friends, for Jesus Christ and for the friendship and the joy and the peace that He Himself gives to you. And then look again at verse 17. Because bread and water will be scarce, and they will be appalled with one another and waste away in their iniquity. And again I say to you, friends, in Jesus Christ, it is quite the opposite. Because in glory which is to come, what is it that awaits you? The river coming out from under the throne of God, the river of life, and in which you can lavishly drink. And you can eat the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. And you can eat of the vine. Yes, that vine which Jesus portrays in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. You can eat of the vine and drink. Drink to your heart's content and be full. And sit at the table of the Lamb. And at the wedding feast, and eat till you're full, because of Jesus Christ. And so I call upon you, friends, this morning, reflecting on one hand to the deprivation and horror, and the wasting away in iniquity in the scene in Ezekiel 4. And on the other hand, the goodness you have in Jesus Christ. Thank Him and thank God for the peace and the joy and the fellowship and friendship you have through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, how good you are to us. How easily we could say, but for the grace of God, there go we. We could be like those people, those ancient people, in Ezekiel 4, but for Jesus Christ. Thank you for Him. Bless your people here and cause us all, Father, to reflect more deeply, more thoroughly, more fully on what Jesus Christ has done for us. Certainly not because we deserve it. Certainly not because we merit it. But certainly because you have seen fit in your mercy to love us in Him. Thank you. Thank you. Hear us. We pray in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. We pray. Amen.